Yeah. Welcome, Simo.
Thank you.
Simo is originally from Italy. Right now he lives in New York. He's one of the Samba 4 guys working on the LDAP API internally, whatever database called LDB. And he's going to give us a status update of what has been done in the last year. Yeah. Welcome, Simo.
Thank you. Basically, this is an update of what you have done for LDB. LDB seems to have gathered some interesting external developers for other projects. And I think that there will be people that may be interested to see what LDB can do now with respect to the other year. So first of all, I thank the organization, my employer, Cast Software, your employer, for letting me be here. And I hope that I also welcome questions, because knowing what people need and what people think about is very important to me. Gives me motivation to go on and enhance our work. So what is LDB? Many of us know, but some not. LDB is an LDAP-like database interface. It means that you have basically all the LDAP query mechanism and the database structure, like a directory, but you can use easily a single file. And our implementation is modern, that it means that you can have different backends so that you can store the information either in a TDB file over an LDAP server, because our syntax is nearly perfectly compatible to LDAP, so you can back an LDB in an LDAP server, and also I work on an SQLite tree to have just a different implementation, see how to map an SQL server. You have also a complete stack of modules that you can put over LDB to change the behavior and enhance LDB to provide more more functionality. In case of the TDB server, it's fast, really fast, because TDB has always used in Samba for the fast database operation, and it is also transactional. This is a new stuff since last year, and this transaction using TDB or SQLite tree. When you use LDAP, that's not true, because LDAP doesn't support transaction, at least not in the standard. So why LDB? TDB was fine for Samba 3, and it is fine for Samba 3, and it's okay for a very, very fast and sensitive operation like the OPLOC database and things like that, but have some drawbacks that limit the usability of this database for more complex tasks. So one of the greatest limitations is a single case, single value mapping. Every record is basically a binary object that you have to manage. You have no indexes in TDB. Programmers need to manually marshal and mash data, manually keep indexes, and all, even check the endiness of the data they store, not of the case, but of the data. So the advantage is that LDB instead implement an LDAP-like database. You can see down there how the TDB is K data, that's all. Just a list of K data and a traverse function that let you list them all. Inside LDB is exactly like a directory. You have a DN that identifies the object in the directory, and then in each object you can store any number of attributes, and for each attribute I also multiple values. So to the LDAP syntax, you can have a very powerful search string. It is hierarchical, of course. The structures can be easily modified or extended, because if you, instead of keeping a bunch of binary data in a single K, you split the data over the attributes of a single object, you can easily manage it having complex structures. Fast searches. And another very good thing is that if you use TDB as SQLite tree, you keep everything in a single file. So you don't have the problem that have some databases that keep external log files or external journaling, and you have multiple files to keep around and to backup. And it's also easy to backup either as a single file or with an online tool. So all the complexity of handling a hierarchical structure is concealed behind the API, so the programmer doesn't need to care about how the structure of the database is, and just add objects to the directory and create all the objects in the right structure so that you can have a concentration of the same kind of object on the same container. We also have very fast indexing, and also the indexing can be modified at runtime, and can be, and LDB take care of record extraction, the indexing automatically. So you just add the index and you have it. This is really true only for TDD as a backend. And one of the key points is that LDB doesn't need a schema. A schema is a very good thing for databases like directory server, because it constrains the way you can put data on the server and makes it easier to control the directory and avoid pollution. But on an internal tool, a schema is a constraint. So having another a schemaless tool, a schemaless kind of directory for internal development has been proved to be a really powerful tool, and it lets you just do the work you're going to do with a very good structured database without messing with the schema, without the constraint that is needed in a different, for different purposes. So this is the set of utilities that we have in LDB. They match closely the LDAP client utilities that you can find, with the exception of LDB edit. And the commons has a set of default switches, of course, and the only mandatory one is the main minus H, capital H, which will point to the right backend, which is the file or the LDAP server that stores your directory. This is an example of a test file where there's just an object, and you can see that the common and the output is really like that of an LDAP an LDAP search. So this helps for the people that already know the LDAP technology, already know how LDAP works, and let you easy port even other tools that you have that work against LDAP to LDB easily, because you don't have to change much. In the case you use a file, in case you use LDAP, you have authentication against LDAP. We have all sorts of authentication worker right now, thanks to Andrew Barton that made GenSec and all this stuff in Samba 4 available. To have that, you must compile LDB inside the Samba 4 tree. When you use files, you don't need authentication, but you need to be careful about the, of course, the file equals. So access to the directory in that case is mediated by the equals on the file system. So LDB edit is the only thing that I think is different from everything I find in the standard LDAP tools, and it's really powerful because basically it's a way to have a snapshot of a directory or a part of a directory and mess with it manually, like you do with a config file on a Unix file system. I think this may be seen like a way to let classical Unix administration digest this thing and have a way to move configuration files in a more powerful medium like a directory. It works also against LDAP, so you can just point LDB edit to LDAP or a TDB file with a search filter or not, and you will have in your preferred editor all the LDF output of the directory, change whatever you want, and on close, if you choose to save, LDB will automatically do a diff between the current the current result in the directory and what you have changed, and automatically apply all the modification you have made inside the file to the directory. It is a powerful tool, of course, has some drawbacks. You must be careful of what you try to change and how you do the changes. It is not just for still yet for the common user to use, because you need to knowledge of the LDF format and the directory database, but it is a really good thing for people that need to change stuff on the directory and know what it's doing. Inside LDB we have something special that doesn't exist in the LDAP directory, and we choose it carefully so that we could have something that doesn't mess the user LDAP stuff. We have these attributes or the ends that start with at signs, which are considered, which is not a syntax that is valid for LDAP, so that we can have reserver internal, generally used only by TDB, configuration options. So for example, we have the index inside the file, and the index is contained in a DN and attributes that are normally not visible through the directory because are in these reserved fields. Also the primitive, a really primitive sort of schema, it's not really a schema but a way to just ease the way classes and attributes works, and just a way, for example, to append modules. I have a fixed set of modules pre-loaded at the open time. And this lets you have all these configuration options directly inside the TDB file, for example, so you don't have, you don't need to have any external configuration file or external other kind of file or information provided to the LDB tools when you open a new LDB database. So this is the, one of the first things I've done in the LDB in the LDB program was to add modules. And the Android Rigel wrote the base LDB architecture. He just was just mimicking the LDAP stuff, and he added just the support for the multiple backends, so TDB, LDAP, whatever. But that was enough to really use LDB and extend its functionality. So I added the possibility to stack modules before the each query or each modification hits the backend, so that it can change the information or manipulate it or do other actions before it actually store or retrieve information from the real database. All the modules are stacked, and modules are calls each other in a chain down to the database, and then the information is retrieved back and cross all the modules up back to the caller. And the backends were transformed in just being modules that doesn't have anything behind them. Modules can be derived in the right order in TDB. You can have with the add modules a parameter, a list of modules you want to preload. Otherwise, you can just pass them on the command line so that you can add modules on the file just by calling the LDB tools. One of the other things is that sometimes confuses the new user of the LDB is that LDB is both a server and a client library. Generally when you use the LDAP backend, you are using LDB like client library to connect to a remote LDAP server. And when you're using a TDB backend instead, you're using LDB like a kind of server where you store all the data. There's no real difference between the two functionalities. I try to keep them the same so that it doesn't matter at all whether you are talking to a remote server or you're just storing stuff in a file. It's all, from the user point of view, it is always a client library interface. Right? LDB has become a key part of the Samba 4 project. I saw that it's also a key part of the OpenChange project, and we use LDB as a base of our LDAP server, of course, but you can find it in the WinS server, and in other places that need a persistent storage, that it's persistent storage where you can where you have to have fast searches and you have you can manage your data in a structured way without needing to mess with defining the structure of the database like you have to do with GDB. So this is that's the basic schema of how LDB works, really, really basic. Generally, you have a request coming in the LDAP API, going through all the modules, hitting the backend, which is, can be a GDB and LDAP or SQLite file, and the request come back through all the modules, and you just have your the reply to your request. The modules can change everything that passed through them. They can even refuse simply to forward the request, or can just change it or reply with a virtual answer when do a search. For example, we have the RootDSC module in the LDAP server that simply does never hit any database but generate most of the answer back from dynamic data. So the modules are a really powerful way to extend and change whatever you want and implement multiple functions. For example, some LDBs basically are a module that permit you to create users and groups in a consistent way, allocating your seeds and all this stuff before hitting the database and storing the data. And the timestamps has been this the name of this module has changed recently into operational. For example, add all the timestamps when you add the new entry in the database. And changing the modified timestamp when you modify some data in the database. That's all. So the latest, the very latest addition to LDB has been a work I started, I think, more than 6 months ago, which is the async infrastructure for LDB. I found the need for async infrastructure while trying to find out how IAD works. AD is not just a simple LDAP database. It implements a lot of controls that are not common in other LDAP servers. It has strange semantics for the, not really strange, but uncommon semantics for the echoes. A good number of attributes that are either not querable, just settable, or that are created on the fly when you query, but you cannot store as well. One of the things, the thing I needed was to be able to, for example, do some operation against the Active Directory and at the same time control what was happening. So to do that, I needed an async infrastructure, which is just a way to send out, in this case, an LDAP call, and instead of waiting for the reply, that can be, again, the wait may be very long because over the network we have latencies and all this kind of stuff. We have another call if the connection is dropping. You want to do go on and do other work, and just have the reply pop up when it comes, without stopping you to work. This is a very important thing to have if you want, for example, manage an LDAP server. If you want to have an LDAP server that is able to manage multiple clients, you need to be able to not wait for the client when it talks to you. And also there's a client requirement about being async. So that the client, in the specification, the clients can send out multiple requests before the replies come back. So this was a need. The way I implemented it is very common in the Semaphore project. It was possible only because we have an event system, of course, that allowed me to leverage all the work previously done and have LDB async. It's a callback basic, so every time you make a call, you have to be sure you're passing a callback that will be called when the reply comes back. This requirement is based only when you want to effectively use the async interface. I've kept perfectly unmodified all the previous interface, the synchronous interfaces, so that for the casual programmer it will be easy to use LDB without messing with all the async code. If you don't need the async functionality, you just call the standard API that will do all the async stuff for you under the cover and present you just a synchronous interface. But to reach a full synchronicity, I have to modify a good number of modules that we have already made, and this is one of the things that is slowing down my work actually, because some of the modules do very complex operations, and one of the things that makes it very difficult to do is, for example, handling multiple LDB operations. Because one of the very good things of LDB is that you can do LDB operations inside the module. So while you have an LDB search standing out before it reaches the database, you can have a module doing LDB adds, LDB modify, other LDB search. So to have that async becomes a very difficult thing. Generally it isn't, but for some module I have yet to finish some work before I can really say that the LDB stack is really async. If you use just the basic backends, most of the LDAP one, it is really completely async right now. If you use the TDB backend, it's just a fake asynchronicity, because TDB is just a file, and we are not going to use asynchronous I/O on the file system to have the asynchronous in this case. So it's just sort of fake async in this case. We don't feel the need to really async I/O on files in case of TDB files, because generally TDB must really be on your file system, local file system. Also because TDB uses byte range locking and really depends on locking working well. Until now there's no remote file system that they have correctly locking. So work is mostly done. I think soon after SamXP, I tried to make it before SamXP, but I had a new job and had some work to do. I think I will pass the latest modification and change Samba 4 from the current synchronous interface, start using the asynchronous interface. And here you see the fireworks. You see if Samba 4 breaks, then you have to fix more stuff. This is the new stack with the async interface, a bit different than the previous one. You see, when you make a request, you have to set a callback, and then you just get out and wait until the callbacks call you back. And all the modules can set up their own callback, and again, multiple callbacks. Can we skip this? We are a bit late. This is a list of modules that we have made in Samba 4. They are not all. The blue ones are the modules I've made to start simulating an LDAP server. Pages results, the source result, extended DNA are very important. ASQ, which means attribute search query, are really important when you search for group memberships. And the others are always LDAP, somehow LDAP related, but more internal to Samba. Controls is another thing that I added recently. If you have used heavily an LDAP server, you will find out that controls may be really important. Controls are a way to change how a standard query or modification generally works. Some of these modules actually just implement controls like ASQ, page result, and server sort, and extensions to the basic LDAP functionalities. So this is a question that I have had many times, and I want to address it here. Why having a LDAP server in Samba 4? So in a previous talk I have made a brief statement. Basically this is because we really need to understand how Active Directory is different from other LDAP servers. And to do that, I found no easier way than to try to write our own reference implementation. I've tried to start with OpenLDAP, for example, back a few major versions ago of OpenLDAP, and I found out that trying to cope with an external project or an external code base was much more difficult than writing our own code. This is partly because we had already from Volker a very good basic LDAP library that he wrote to overcome some problem of the OpenLDAP library, and the work was easier to do. And so this is just sort of a reference implementation. Nothing is fixed in stone. When we will have something that works, I want something that will allow us to fake a Windows client believing we are really IDE, and partly we don't get it yet, because some before, as have you seen by Andrew Barton, is able to be joined by Windows XP clients. When we will go further, and we will know what is really needed, we then will be able to think again if we can use an existing directory and leverage all of the other stuff that they have, or if we have to continue on this way. And of course, doing our own LDAP server means that we don't have to think about compatibility issues with other directories, and we maybe just back-to-back compatible as always. So these are the current limitations we still have on the LDAP server. LDB work is going well. The LDAP server work depends mostly on LDB, because the line that differentiates LDB and LDAP in Semaphore is really blurring. For example, we have only client-side asynchronous calls. The LDAP server code that is based on LDB is not asynchronous. There's some other things that are not complete, no standard operations, for example. Still missing a bunch of controls that are really important. No replication yet. No echoes, no real echoes, and the really primitive schema support. But thing is improving. We are working most of this stuff, and I think next year we'll have something more to say about that. So what we need to do? For example, for the replication protocols, there is a lot of work we to do with DRS2 IPA, which uses RPCs. It doesn't use LDAP at all, so two LDAP servers in the AD, two AD servers to replicate uses RPCs, no LDAP calls, so we really need to integrate closely with Semaphore. And my opinion, what we still need is a lot of tests to prove we are really conformant to the model, which is AD. So protocol, schema, authorization, conformance, so that we behave in the same way. One of the last things, we're using LDB. I have been contacted by other people interested in LDB for other projects like KDE and other stuff. LDB's license is LGPL, and also TDB and TALOC license are LGPL, because LDB depends on TALOC and TDB, so that other projects can work with it without requiring the GPL license. But not all the modules are LGPL. Mostly all the modules that you find under DSDB source 3 in Semaphore are GPL. So only a subset, all the core functionality of LDB are LGPL. The rest you have to look at the license. Most of the testing is done just on Linux. So I don't really know if it works well on other operating system yet. And so if you want to start trying it, try it on Linux first and then play with another operating system. Okay, questions?
Okay, apparently there are no questions. except for the magic word coffee.
Well,
yeah, then.
Yeah, I had.
Yeah, one.
No time, but could have shown just let me search where if people want to.
Yeah, maybe just a minute or.
Yeah, just a second. Just to show why it is interesting to work with LDB. So I'm connecting to an Active Directory server that I have in VMware and trying to ask for a control that uses the async interface. Oops. Oh. Okay. The minus A somewhere? Oh, yeah. Okay. Doesn't work. Yeah. In this case, we'll just show you an LDB search. Yeah. You see, this is the tree. I want to show you the notification function that lets you see what happened when I did directory and someone changed it. It was working before doing it all, but since that not working now. So, that's all bad.
Yeah. I mean, that's can happen.
happen.
Yeah, then. Thank you, Simo.
Thank you.
So, coffee and something to eat is prepared. See you here in half an hour or a little bit less now.